Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Andy here. It is great to be with you. Welcome to the first Sunday in Advent. It's hard to believe we are there already, but we are. We are going to continue the sermon series called Home. We have been thinking about this idea of home on multiple levels, from our own homes to the church home we're all part of. You probably know by now we've broken it down into three main categories. In homes, we receive, or we should have received, nurturing, or maybe formation. We should have received blessing, or we learn how to share our homes, our resources, and our lives to bless others. And then last week, I spoke about how we're launched or sent out from home to make an impact in this world, but also with this rhythm of returning home for rest and recovery and refueling and remembering who we are. And then the rhythm just continues over and over and over again. Well, for today, you know, I was thinking that it's all well and good talking about going out and impacting the world in Jesus' name and then returning home for strength and rest. But what happens when we've been away for a long time? What happens when we've gotten lost and we can't find our way back home? What happens when we're not sure we'll receive a welcome back home, or we've just simply lost our way? What happens when we're not sure we want to go back home because, well, it's complicated? Or maybe on the outside, it doesn't look like we've left home, but somehow in our hearts, we actually have. There's some questions. There's even some resentments or pain that has caused us to step away from faith and from the Father's house, from our home. And then all of us know what it's like to leave home for a season because we've been chasing something that we think will make us happy, or we have something going on in our life that is just taking control of us, or we just don't like our circumstances or our season. So we've walked away from Jesus a bit. We've left home. On top of all that, the pandemic that we're all living through has caused so much disruption, which stirs things up and clouds things even further. It's raised questions we didn't know we had. It's made ways of thinking and options open to us in a new way, some of which is really good, and some of which means a departure from home. And all of us with this pandemic, we're facing all kinds of disappointments and griefs and a breaking of expectations. Life has turned out to be harder than we expected and way more complicated at this stage. And the things that we are tempted to put our faith in, things like the progress generally of society, politics maybe, various different types of authority, various different people, or even institutions and systems that we thought would be there for us, they're all being shaken right now, and many, if not all, are actually being found wanting. And there's just still so much in the air around us about what is truth, what is real, where should our allegiances be? And it's a perfect storm. It's a very disrupting time, very disorientating time, and it's caused many to be tempted to leave home. It's actually caused many to actually leave home, to leave faith. And it's just caused many of us to simply not be able to find our way back to the Father's house for tons of different reasons. So this morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, one of the most famous parables of Jesus, the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost sons. And for those of us who have literally walked away from Jesus a long time ago, or recently during the pandemic, or we're just simply tempted to now, and or for those of us that have put up appearances on the outside, but we've walked away from home, we've walked away from Jesus on the inside, or for those of us who just feel disorientated and like we can't find our way back home, our passage has something to say to us about coming home to Jesus, returning home to the Father's house. Before we jump into the meat of the parable, let's just talk about the posture of heaven towards lost things. Luke chapter 15 is actually all about lost things. It's three parables. Oh, a parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, and then the lost sons. And Jesus tells these parables in response to the religious leaders who are complaining that he spends so much time with people who appear, on the outside at least, to be far from God. And Jesus ate with and hung out with people they would have called sinners or lost. And the parables reveal the heart of heaven is to run to those who are lost and to celebrate and rejoice when they're found. So if you feel lost, if you would say you're trying to find the way home and wondering what does God think of you, these three parables all reveal heaven is waiting and watching and searching and running to find lost things that need to come home. No matter what state you feel like you're in, from the pandemic or life or your own choices or the effects of the choices of others, the good news is that the Father never stops searching for us, reaching to us, inviting us to come home. Jesus is heaven's emissary calling us home. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says really plainly that Jesus, he says himself that he came to seek and save that which was lost. You know, the parable of the prodigal son, there's two sons, and they're both lost. They're just lost in different ways. Tim Keller helps us here by saying there's two ways to be lost. There are two ways to be your own Savior and Lord. There are two different kinds of self-salvation projects. One is by breaking all the moral rules. One is by keeping all the moral rules and saying, now, God, you owe me. So both sons are lost, and this parable is going to help us in the ways in which we feel lost come home to Jesus. So let's talk about a far off country, and let's talk about the younger son first. So chapter 15 verses 11 to 16 says this: Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So the younger son, he asks for his inheritance early, which is deeply disrespectful to the father. It forces the father to divide up his estate early, which wouldn't have been great. And it's basically the younger son saying to the father, I don't care for you. I wish you were dead. I just want what you have and what you owe me. And I want to go my way and live my own life by my own rules. I want to leave your house and I want to leave your presence. But the father gives it, which would have been scandalous to the hearers of this parable. And then the younger son takes it and he squanders it completely. He then goes away. He goes far from home to a foreign land and he wastes his resources on wild living. And you probably don't need me to explain to you what wild living means. It's the classic story of wanting to live your own way and to find what we think is freedom and our authentic best life. It's what happens when we put ourself, our autonomy, our longing for freedom first. He breaks boundaries, he breaks relationship, he rejects authority due to his restless heart. And maybe we've been there. And maybe we even know that it feels exhilarating and like true freedom at first, but actually isn't. In his search for freedom, the desire to be the center of his own story, he ends up in a really broken place. His desire for freedom leads him to bondage. After the money runs out, unforeseen circumstances hit and a famine strikes, and his only choice is to become a servant to someone else and to feed pigs. He's so destitute that he is willing to do anything and even wants to eat the pig's food. In a Jewish context, of course, it would have been horrifying to do anything to do with pigs, let alone take care of them, be amongst them, and to try and eat their food. It would have been against the law of Moses. And it just shows us how deep in trouble he finds himself. Verses 17 to 19 tell us that he comes to his senses and he remembers that his father's servants live better than he is currently living. And so he decides that he's going to return home. He's going to repent. He's going to turn around and go the other way. He's going to own his behavior and his sin. And he's going to go home, and not expecting sonship, he just is going to ask to be a servant in his father's house. So he came home, or he came to his senses, and he saw home through a different set of eyes. The boundaries of home, which once looked like something to flee from, something claustrophobic, now look loving and actually look like true freedom. Maybe we need to think about that in our own lives. James K.A. Smith, a wonderful Christian philosopher, says this to help us understand this. He says, once you've realized you need someone, not you, you also look at constraint differently. What used to look like walls hemming you in start to look like scaffolding holding you together. You look at obligations as a restraint that gives you a purpose, a center, the rebar of identity. We might be surprised by how many people are hoping someone will give them boundaries. The gift of restraint, channeling their desires and thereby shoring up a sense of self. Jesus offers us these gifts as he leads us home to true freedom. The way home for the younger son and for all of us is repentance and accepting the Father's love as support and not suffocating constraint. I love how verse 17 puts it. He came to his senses. He remembers home. He remembers what's at home. He sees what he left behind with fresh eyes. He can see its goodness, its value, its worth, and he heads home and confesses his sin of running away. And we find out that the Father is waiting and watching and searching and runs to him. And before he can even get his repentance out, he's welcomed, he's celebrated, he's restored. I don't know how you have experienced the pandemic, but one of its common effects is to make people want to run. And that's what it's been like for me at times. Everything is shaking. We could opt out and go our own way. We could pursue our own aims and desires and what we think would feel good or be good or what we need in this moment to leave home. I'm certainly not saying all of us have, you know, abandoned ourselves to wild living and things like that. But we've all been tempted, I'm sure, to run. And we all, at some point in our lives, have in some way run from the Father. We've gone our own way. And we all know what it's like to sin, to chase freedom, but actually find that we become controlled by our idols and by our desires. And if you have been away, if you've left home to chase other things, if you've run or been tempted to run, or if you just feel lost, Jesus is the way back home. Whether we've abandoned faith, never had it, whether we've just wanted to abandon faith, or it's just been the pandemic, it's just knocked us, we have a moment to come home to Jesus, to the Father's house. And again, if you feel really embarrassed or bad about that, and you've just been away, you don't know what happened over this pandemic time, but you've just been away and you're wondering, what does BCV think of you? Well, I would just say, we kept your place at the table and we kept the light on for you. We've been watching for you. We've been searching for you. And we would just say, come home with joy. Come home with joy. Well, that's the younger son. What about leaving in our hearts? What about the older son? Just like the younger brother, the older brother disrespects the father, but does it in a very socially acceptable way. He behaves on the outside, but burns the resentment on the inside. He leaves home in his heart. And verses 25 to 27 tells us that the older brother came in from working, and when he hears what's happened, he becomes angry and refuses to go into this wild party that the father throws that's joyfully welcoming the younger brother home. He just refuses to celebrate. The older brother's sin is resentment. Resentment is seething, low-level anger that seeps into everything. It's always smoldering under the surface, and from time to time it boils over and we lash out. And it's usually fueled by this sense of lack, that you don't have what you deserve, despite working hard for it. And in verses 28 to 30, we can just feel the contempt. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this younger son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." You can feel the contempt, the perceived lack. He thinks he's a slave, not the father's heir. And it reveals that even though he never left home, he only wanted his father's possessions just like the younger brother did. He just behaved in order to get it. And many of us can relate to the older brother's resentment. I certainly can. It's the primary way, if I'm honest, that I leave home and get lost. And maybe in parts of our lives, we carry disappointment that's turned to resentment. We feel that at a certain time, God should have done something, or God should have done something different. It should have gone our way. We didn't get what we deserved. We felt like we behaved. We felt like we prayed. We tithed. We even went on a ministry trip or something like that. We kept the rules. And we worked and we served hard, but we don't have what we expected. And it's caused us to leave home in our hearts, to stop expecting anything from Jesus or his people. Or maybe it's even led us to quietly opt out of faith. Or maybe we just feel lost inside and we've just felt like we've had to work and earn our place at home. Or maybe it's this pandemic moment, and we've just had to wrestle with how hard that is, and it wasn't what we expected, and we felt like we or our kids or our family members deserved different, and our expectations got broken, and we fear we won't get what we think we deserve, and it's just a huge disruption to what we thought our world would look like and what we deserved. And resentment is there, and frustration is building, and we feel at sea. We feel far from home, just like the older brother. Well, just like the younger brother, the older brother needs the welcome and loving arms of the father to be healed. He needs to come home. Just like the younger brother, the father goes out to find the older son who's lost. And then I love verse 31, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." I love those words of the father to the older son. He reminds him of his presence and his love when he says, "You are always with me." And he reminds him of his abundance. "Everything I have is yours. You're my heir. You lack nothing." There was a time in my life not long ago where I needed to memorize and pray through this verse every single day so that I could remember that I'm surrounded by the love of Jesus. And like the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And I had to practice gratitude to remember the abundance of the Father's house, which is where I live. I had to remember that Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior, and that I can rest on what he has done for me on the cross. I can't earn anything. I don't need to. Because of him, I have all the love and care and affection and forgiveness and the grace that heaven has. And at the end of all things, because of Jesus, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what if in the midst of the pandemic and everything we face and in every moment of our lives, what if Jesus will lead us home to rest and to celebrate when we thought we had to earn, home to his presence and love that surrounds us, even when we lose our way? So why is this parable such good news on this first Sunday of Advent? Well, Jesus is the way back home. And this is really good news because it means you don't have to be the hero of your own story and have all the answers and resources and the ways and means to do your life. We can rest in and be yoked to Jesus. We can make our home in him and learn from him and allow him to be the center of our story. And we can live in his blessing and peace and love instead of the unbearable pressure of the unattainable, perfect Instagram life. Jesus is also good news because he's the answer to our infinite dreams, longings, and expectations that try and get us to leave home and to pursue them alone as idols. They can only be satisfied by surrendering to an infinite creator God who loves you and gave up his life for you and invites you into his story and offers to build a home in you and for you. You have longings and desires that seem bottomless because they were made for the bottomless love of God for you in Jesus. Jesus is good news because in a world where nothing is certain, he is the only certain and secure thing. If you feel like your world is shaking, he will lead you home. Jesus is good news because you don't have to just endure and grind away to please God. Jesus pleased God perfectly, and if we come to him in faith, his righteousness covers over our life, and we can receive and rest in his mercy and abundance. Jesus is good news because he can heal our pain. He walked among us and endured everything that life can throw at us and more. And he empowers us to forgive others who wounded us. And he offers us healing and wholeness as we follow him and rest in his love. Jesus is good news because he is the answer for the shame and guilt and brokenness we all carry and bear. The world right now does not know what to do with guilt. And doesn't know how to deal with it. And the world right now is a harsh and punishing place. But Jesus on the cross paid for our sin, defeated death, and is available to us now by the Holy Spirit. And in him there is forgiveness, there is friendship, there is peace, there is wisdom, there's joy, there's grace, there's mercy, and a way back home to the Father's house. In some way, no matter who we are, we've all been lost, or we all are lost, and we need to be led home for the first time, or because we've just wandered off in some way. So receive the good news about Jesus and come home to him. We're all looking for home. We were all made for the Father's house, the Father's presence, and his great celebration that will never end. And Jesus can lead us home. This pandemic has highlighted really, really clearly that we need to make our home in him and allow him to make his home in us and to lead us towards our forever home. So put your faith in Jesus. Make it your serious intention of your life to live in him and allow him to launch you out for impact and sustain you on the journey and to lead you and many others home. I just want to pray for us. I had a sense as I was preparing this talk that some of you've had a bit of a journey like the younger brother. You got angry and upset and you left home. But you actually really, really miss Jesus. It's like a longing. You're like almost like haunted by his presence. And I just want to say to you, come home. Come home to Jesus. He's searching for you. He's looking for you. Come home to him. If we in BCV can help you come home, we want to do that. Others of you, I just had the sense that you got offended, like on someone else's behalf, like someone got hurt by church or someone they left. They wanted to leave. They wanted to leave the Father's house and they wanted to pursue freedom and they wanted to do this. And it's actually not your story, but it was easier for you just to go along. You got caught up in their offense and their pain and their questions, and it was just easier to kind of just detach and go with them. But now you're in this place where you're like, wait a minute, I almost feel like I'm coming to my senses and I want to go home. I've tasted where that road leads and I don't want it. I want to go home. And I would say to you, come home to Jesus today. And maybe you're listening to this and you've just never given your full yes to Jesus. What if you came home today and found his wisdom and mercy and forgiveness and peace and found that those are the things you're actually hungry for and those are the only things that will satisfy the longing in your soul? What if he is searching for you and what if he is wanting to bring you home? And then for all of us, I had the sense that we are just to repent of the things that cause us to run, to leave home. The idols, the wants, the fears, the brokenness, the circumstances, the wrong choices. We are to, in big ways and small ways, return to and live in the Father's house this Advent. And what if it is a moment to return home and to realize the goodness of Jesus and the depth of his love and care and to build on that as a foundation for our lives, the serious intentions of our lives. So I want to pray for us now. Come, Holy Spirit, rest on all who are watching this, whenever they're watching it. And we pray that many would come home to Jesus. We pray for those who are giving their yes to Jesus for the first time in this season, in this moment. Just come, Holy Spirit, and draw them to the Father's house through Jesus the Savior. We pray for those of us that just feel lost. We don't know what to do. Would we choose to come home? And Lord, we do repent, all of us, for the ways in which we regularly leave home and get lost. We confess our sin. We confess our wrong choices. We confess our brokenness. We confess that we, the ways in which we know what obedience looks like, but we've not done it. We confess it all, and we say, we are sorry. Can we come back home? And we reach out, and we take your hand, and we just say, lead us to the Father's love. Lead us to the Father's house. We worship you, Jesus, as Lord. We are so grateful that you made a way back to the Father's house through your life, death, and resurrection. And we hail you as King, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. If you want to give your yes fully to Jesus, we want to help you do that. Get in touch. Email andy@belfastcityvineyard.com. If you want somebody to stand with you in prayer, get in touch. And again, email andy@belfastcityvineyard.com. We would love to stand in prayer with you and help you come back to the Father's house. If you've been stirred up by this, again, we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to be a community of people that helps many, many people return home to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.